This program is a paid commercial announcement from Jacob Media Partners and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management. Today's program is pre-recorded.
WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia, a radio.com station. Now, live from the Malamut & Associates Law Studios. This is Style with Stevola. Style with Stevola Sanchez, Philly's superstar of design and the self-proclaimed creator of tomorrow's unique style. Style with Stevola and his friends from around the fashion globe. And now, one of Philadelphia's most iconic providers of everything style. Stevola Sanchez. Stevola Sanchez.
And a good evening, everyone, and welcome to Style with Stevola right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. This is Krause with Jacob Media. Our host, Stevola Sanchez, is looking forward to helping all restaurant owners and retail store owners from around the Delaware Valley who are looking for a helping hand. Schedule your guest appearance on Style with Stevola by reaching out to Stevola across one of his social media platforms. He'll tell your story and we'll put a spotlight on your efforts and your business. Now it's Style with Stevola and your host, still the king of style, Stevola Sanchez.
Thanks, Joe. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for listening. I am Stevola, your host. And to piggyback off of what Joe just announced, I seriously want to help. If you are business and you're open during this crazy time, I want to promote, local businesses that are staying open, delivering food for people. Like, just please reach out to me and we'll get you on the radio. I think it would be great to help promote. I really want to help. You can reach me at Style with Stevola on Instagram. And it's Stevola is spelled S-T-E-V-E-A-L-A, or you could do find me on Facebook and just type in Stevola, again, S-T-E-V-E-A-L-A. All right, so we have a really exciting show for you today. We have a guest that I'm going to announce in a little bit, but I kind of wanted to start out by talking about some of these things that, I'm trying to get creative. We've been home now for weeks and, it's pretty crazy, going a little stir crazy. Had a very active, life outside of my apartment before all of this. So I just wanted to share with you guys some ideas that I had come up with that I think would be helpful and, and a lot of fun for you to do while you're home. So right now, I really am thinking I'm kind of blasting it up right now is social media. I'm sure everyone is doing this, but I do want to reiterate that it's a great, great time to really use social media. One, and very important, you let loved ones and your friends and, and people who love you that, that you're okay and them letting you know that they're okay. You could connect with old friends, from high school, college, all the above. And then something that's fun and a lot of people are doing, I haven't done it yet, but I'm planning on it, is a virtual happy hour. I don't want to completely promote drinking alone, but if you are alone, but if you have a partner or whatever, it's just fun to connect with friends, and have a happy hour and have a cocktail and catch up. I mean, I think that would be really fun. I'm definitely going to plan one for next week or this week coming up. And then there's an app that I wanted to share with you for that, where you can get multiple people to connect. It's called Zoom. So if you don't have it, download it. And it's great because you could do, I think up to like 8 people, maybe even more, but it's really, really cool. And they all pop up on your computer screen or cell phone. And then another one, I've been doing this. It's just to kind of, not that I'm, trying to make light of what's happening because it's terrible, but create some fun videos and share, just have some fun, be silly, make people laugh. I think that's really important. We all need that right now. Then there's some games that I think are really important that'd be really fun to do, that you can easily do at home. There's one, if you have kids, there's one or not, but, indoor bowling is really fun. If you have the space, you just get some cups and you set them up and any type of ball and you try to knock them all down and you keep score. That's super fun. There's a game that I like to play, but it's traditionally it's called beer pong, but it doesn't have to be, you know, with alcohol. It is just a fun game because you have to bounce a ball into cups. And, you know, it could be with punch or Kool-Aid or whatever you drink, or orange juice even. That's just a really fun game, and it's very exciting to play. There's also one that I think is cool because it's all about enhancing the senses, which, you know, we don't really think about a lot. But I think, I enjoy this one, and it's really, really kind of cool and interesting. And you really don't, know what our senses are doing at certain times because we kind of take them for granted. So there's this one game called Touch and Feel Boxes. The name is kind of funny, but really it's, you just take a box, you cut a hole in it, and you just put different things from the house, you know, in this box. And, you know, you go around the room or you basically, whoever you're playing with, they put their hand in the box and they try to figure out what it is just by touching it, which it's funny, and crazy, some of the things that come up while you're playing this game. And then there's another one that I really like. It's called Recording Sounds. And you basically record sounds on your phone, and it could be any type of sound, even if you're crumbling up a piece of paper, and then you can send it to your friends and they have to guess, you know, exactly what that sound was. Some people are incredible at it, which it blows my mind. Others, they need to use those senses more. And then another really fun game is the vacuum game, if you have a larger family. But it's basically you take the old after you finish toilet paper or paper towels, and you take the cardboard roll on the inside, and you basically could take a piece of paper or anything, and then you have to pick it up off of the table and use your vacuum, your human vacuum, and pass it to the next person without dropping it. And then you can also even write something in it that whoever drops it has to do what's written. For example, you can write in there, you need to do the dishes tonight. And whoever drops it has to do the dishes, so the job will be done. I just really wanted to share that with you. I hope you try them and enjoy them. Again, you can always reach out and let me know if you tried these, or send some funny videos. I think it would be great during this time to, make people laugh. And then lastly, I just really want to thank all the essential workers. Again, it's really what you guys are doing is incredible. I can't even thank you enough, truly. So when I return, I will introduce my special guest in this hour coming up. So please stay tuned. Welcome back. You are listening to Style with Stevola, and I am your host, Stevola. Thank you for listening. So today we have an incredible, incredible guest for you. Someone who I've known for many, many, many years. Very, very inspiring. She is a quadruple threat. She is a designer, a business owner, a community activist, and a DJ. I mean, just saying that alone makes me tired. But without further ado, I want to introduce you all to my very good friend, Hallie Grano. Welcome, Hallie.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, of course. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your incredibly busy schedule to do this with me. It's so good to see, or so good to hear your voice.
Thank you so much. And thank you for that amazing introduction. Wow. I'm humbled.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
all real, 100%. So let's just give the listeners, so they get to know you, just a little background of yourself.
So I'm like, where do I begin? I am born, do you want me to start at the beginning? No, I'm just kidding. I was born from my mother and father. No, I'm just kidding. I was born in Cleveland, Ohio. And then just a brief Cliff's Notes of my life, I was really interested in fashion in high school and then ended up going to a design school in Cincinnati, Ohio. So I went to University of Cincinnati. Shout out to Design, Architecture, Art and Planning College.
Shout out.
Called DAP. All my Dappers and my Bearcats.
What's that?
It's our the music and theater. CCM is the music and theater school. The design school is DAP. It's called DAP. It just sounds ridiculous when you say it, but when you go there, you know, DAAP. And that was all like, they have a really big industrial design, architecture college, fashion, and like really cool creative department. So everyone that went to DAP pretty much just like had a really awesome career like in the design world by the time that they finished college, because they required cooperative education. And with that, that's you excellent. Had to get paid internships. So each year you'd go 2 quarters on to school and 2 quarters off. So like I would travel to New York in the fall and the spring and fulfill my cooperative education internships, where I had to get my own job, get paid. I had to get someone to pay me, not just like free work. And then you'd come back and apply that to school, basically in your next quarter where you went to school. So you do that on and off for pretty much 4 years, and it was a 5-year program.
That's excellent.
So the first year you aren't even in the field yet. So by the time I got out of fashion school, I was already like an associate designer level. Like I didn't even really need to be an assistant because I was already an assistant during college. So it's pretty cool to really excel you. You know, a lot of fashion schools and design schools, they tell you all these things that you should be doing and what the world is like and the work world is like. But Cincinnati is an amazing program because they really just make you do it, throw you in.
Yeah.
It's like throw you in the fire and you're like, oh, no, this is how it really worked because I was working for X and Y company. So, yeah.
Right. So they feed you to the wolves.
Yeah, exactly.
And you got to either seek or swim, right? I mean, that's kind of the industry's tough.
Totally. It really is. And that is also where I met my now business partner, who's one of my best friends, Shannon Weidel.
Yep.
We went to fashion school together and we used to live in New York together as well. So we would take our cooperative education internships the same quarters, but she was 1 year ahead of me. So
I didn't know that. That's amazing. I didn't know you guys had been friends for so long.
Yeah, we've been friends since we were like, oh God, I was baby Hallie. I was like maybe 19. And we were college roommates. We lived in this awesome like mansion in Kentucky, which right over the bridge of Cincinnati is like a, you know, stone's throw away. And we had this like epic mansion that my roommates and I all lived in, and we all paid like $200 a month. It's insane.
Well, that's
Shannon
awesome.
Was one of my roommates. Yeah. And so we would live during school together and then during our work quarters together, and we just became really close friends. But she was working for companies like Marc Jacobs and like this really cool vintage company called Southpaw out there, and Jill Stewart, and like she did a bunch of really cool cooperative education quarters while I was working at companies like 555 Soul, Echo Red, and I was more in the streetwear lane. So Shannon and I just never joined forces on that level. We've just always been friends and supported each other. And then I also started, because we're going to talk about it as well, I also started a DJ career while I was in college, and I was really big in the hip hop scene, and also at 555 Soul in New York. I was very inspired by like DJs that were coming in the store, and you know, I had been watching since I was younger, and we'll get into that later, but I was really interested in DJing. So while I started this design career, I also kind of started dabbling with records, and then I would play sets and get to play out stuff. So
that's
I was doing
awesome.
You know, music and fashion at the same time, and then I ended up finishing school.
Well, hey, let me stop you right there, because
yeah.
I want to just throw in there really quick. First of all, you guys, like, it sounds like you guys make the perfect duo, especially right now, you know, with the trends that are happening, like, cause she has a sportswear background, you have a streetwear background, and you know, a lot of these high-end brands are kind of like clashing the two, or combining the two, I should say.
Totally.
And it's been huge. So shout out to Shannon Weddle.
Yes.
Killing
total.
It.
But, and then, a so big shout out to her.
Yes. Yes. And hopefully we'll get her on the show with you and we could talk more, you know, about her background and then your life together. You know, you're pretty much married.
I would love to. Yeah. I know she wants to be, she would love to join us. She, unfortunately, during this quarantine, she is like stuck at home being a, you know, mama to her toddler. She's, you know, teaching her daughter so many things. And we try to fit in as much work as we can, but it's really hard to connect with her for long periods of time right now. So after quarantine, I would love to bring her on the show.
Yes. Yes. I mean, we'll see what we can do. Cause maybe we can just do sort of something where we could maybe all call in or something, but we'll figure something out.
That'd be really great.
But I want to like kind of segue into how we met now.
Yeah.
You know,
please.
This was like 1,000 years ago, but, but I started a role as a director at Seven for All Mankind, and, you know, and I came in as your boss. Right. But, hello, look who the boss is now.
I know. We're about the same.
Oh, thanks.
We go head to head, toe to toe.
Yeah. But I mean, I just remember, like, I mean, when I first started, just how impressed I was by you. One, I mean, you were so dedicated to the job and you like worked so hard every day for me, which, you know, as we were getting to know each other, which I had so much respect for you. And then on top of it, you, after we'd work these long hours, you'd go out and DJ until like 2 a.m.
Yep.
I was like, how does she do it?
You know what's but funny, I mean, later in life, inspired. I realized like what sleep was as I started to get a little older, because I used to only sleep like 4 hours or 5 hours. And I was like, I'm always tired. And then one day I got a taste of like 7 hours and I'm like, oh, if I just go to bed earlier, I can function. So
I know,
really
I think the whole time I've known you, I think there was maybe one time that you actually said you got up at like noon.
Yeah.
Well, seriously,
to be honest, now later in life, like weekends, like if I go to bed super late and I don't have to do something the next day, I definitely like adult full on, like I'll sleep in if I can. But a lot of times my brain wakes up and then I'm just like, ooh, ideas, things I have to do. And then I just get up and I'm like, I can't fall back asleep. My brain is like overactive.
Right. Right. Well, I mean, with everything that you're doing, and I know that, you know, this pandemic has kind of put a halt to a lot of things, including us working together, you know, because we have so many projects, you know, coming up, exciting projects that we're going to collaborate on, which I cannot wait. So those will get up and running when we're, you know, back in business. But what I'm really, really, you know, proud of you and Shannon and what you guys are doing and what you started, because with this pandemic happening and we're like in the middle of it, you completely switched gears and, you know, started this whole like mask making donation and business, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's correct. So to take it back to your last question to transition into this, we did meet in about, I would say, what, 2008?
Oh, wow.
It?
Yeah.
When you and I met? Yeah. 2008. God, I'm like 2020. Whoa, 12 years ago. Hi, Steve. We've been friends for a really long time.
Yes.
So you caught me when I was working at Seven for All Mankind, and then you came in and became a design director and my boss and a dear friend. And, you know, we rallied till the day we both burned that place to the ground. And in the best way possible, because we kept all of our, you know, connections from there and all of our resources. And it was just such an amazing beginning of a relationship for us, which transitioned me into like LA manufacturing, because I had so many contacts that were local there that I learned that we didn't have to take our product offshore. And so it transitions me into the question you're asking now, because from that period of time to now, I kind of realized that Shannon and I wanted to do something to help our, like, our economy and help ourselves on top of local workers and factory owners and, you know, all of our immigrants that have come here that, like, are amazing seamstresses and sewers and everybody.
Right.
And we wanted to support what we have right in front of us, because so many people just go, fashion, China, I'm going to do everything in China. I'm going to do overseas. And it's like, if you factor in $10,000 that it costs for you to travel over there and do fittings and speak with your factory, take that out of your budget and put that into, like, supporting the U.S. market and the L.A., like, manufacturing side, and that gets you, like, around the same cost.
Yes,
not,
hold,
like,
hold on one sec. Know, I am going, we have so much more to talk about, but we have to go to a commercial break. We will continue this conversation. So please stay tuned. I'm with Hallie Grano, and you're listening to Style with Stevola. Welcome back, everyone. I'm here with Hallie Grano, and you're listening to Style with Stevola on WPHT 1210 AM. Welcome back, Hallie.
Hi, Stevola. Hello, everyone.
Thank you again for joining us. So we left off, before the commercial break, just talking about, you know, which I think you made a really, really incredible point that, taking the travel budget out and investing that, you know, especially at times like this, investing it into local businesses, to help you with production. I think it's such a smart move, because, I mean, you're doing this incredible thing for people, which we'll get into, but you're also employing people and yourselves. You know, it's really, really smart. And you're saving lives at the same time.
Well, right now, you know what's really funny that Shannon and I haven't even spoke. We haven't even spoke about this yet, but I'm going to call her the second we're off of this interview. But we always made this joke where we're like, it's just fashion, right? Like, we're always like, it's just fashion. Like, people need to calm down. Our clients, like, get their panties in a bunch or something and get all worked up. And we're like, calm down. It's just fashion. We're like, we're not saving lives. That was literally our logo. We talk about this as one of our mottos that we were going to, like, put on a t-shirt or something and be like, we're not saving lives. Cause, like, my mom is a nurse, so she's saving lives. It's really funny because I just thought about this and I'm like, actually, now we are helping to save lives. But who knew that would have been
right.
a thing? Cause we were like, calm down. It's just fashion.
Exactly. Right. When it comes to those moments where they're just like, I need my production, da 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 da, then it's, or this color's off, you know, but then now to, you know, it's serious fashion. You know what I mean?
Serious fashion, which who could have predicted this? Nobody, in my opinion. So basically, to go back to what you were just saying, and, you know, where I mentioned investing that travel budget or the time spent, you know, it takes like 6 months to get your, or 3 months, let's say, to get like your first protos once you've handed over your tech packs and picked all of your fabrics and everything when you're offshore. When you're doing something here, it takes us like a month less. So if you really factor in time spent physically, time spent waiting on top of like 10,000 or more for one person to go overseas, and you just invest that into your product, meaning the cost of goods, you know, people start freaking out because they're like, oh, I get this tank top for like $4 in China, but you get it for what, $8 or $10 here. We'll factor in all those other costs, and you're also supporting the economy here. You're supporting people's jobs. We know that we're sweatshop free. I can show you, you know, like Roberto that sewed your dress or whatever, and I can show you a picture of him and let you know that I paid him a check and he can feed his family. Like, all of those things make me feel you know, socially responsible and mm-hmm. like proud of what I'm doing, because I know I can control every single variable that's happening along
right.
the way. When you take things offshore and you're not going there, we don't know what's happening 100%. Yes, we can FaceTime the factories. Yes, we can have one point person and they can show you whatever they want. But if you're not there, you don't really know.
Right. And I agree with you 100%. It's really, you know, I've had a lot of experience, you know, doing overseas designing and production. And it takes a lot of handholding, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm so used to my career just being so hands on, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, we all make it work. Right. When
yeah.
we're working for a brand, because that's their business. But at the same time, it's like, you know, I agree with you. It's so much easier just to do something local. Like, you know, this brand that I'm creating, it's supposed to launch in the fall, but don't think that's going to be happening, which is totally fine. But when it does finally launch, I really truly want it to be, you know, all made domestic, which I think
let's
is important, because we're going to need it also.
Let's say spring 2021. Let's aim for that.
Yes. Okay. Goal. I'm going to write it down on my board.
Write it down. I think that's very realistic at this point, and we can revisit that again, like next month when we're talking.
Yes.
But
yes.
aside from that, like having all of the functions, like anyone that's a designer or understands like development in-house is something where you can have a pattern maker nearby and you can have someone mm-hmm. cut your sample and you can fit it and you do all these things like in a hands-on process, which you and I were used to from Seven, because we were very fortunate to have development in-house, or at least some
right.
of it. And
right.
imagine taking that and then you do this, you apply the same model to production. That's what we're trying to achieve, so that it's not like, oh, I handed it off to somebody else and they didn't do what I expected. And so right. in, you know, transitioning that into the pandemic and asking, you know, in answering your question about the masks, if you've seen, and I'm sure a lot of people have tried to order masks online, eBay, Amazon, all these places, we don't know where they're coming from. We don't
and
necessarily
I tried
know
myself.
The distributor.
Yeah, I couldn't find
yeah.
anything. They're all sold out.
A lot of people have messaged me and said, I ordered two masks from Amazon a month ago and they haven't arrived. Can you please help me? And I'm like, of course. That's why I literally shifted the business model the second we got shut down. Shannon and I had like an emergency phone call and we're like, look, we're not allowed to do work right now. Like you're basically, you know, insensitive if you're doing work that's not applying to the crisis to the world right now. Like I'm,
right.
and, you know, everybody else that's offering entertainment and running their businesses, I'm not criticizing that. I'm just saying, like, if you have resources to help healthcare workers or people that are putting themselves on the front line, if you're not responding to that or catering your business to the new model, then you know, you won't survive very long, or you may get fined or you may get in trouble because you have to do, you know, your work within these guidelines now. So we switched gears
right.
and we're like, what can we do from home? Let's design. Let's reach out to people and see what they need. Also, I'm just going to make, you know, a mask sample and have my contractor make it and see what happens. And Shannon and I just like hit the ground running when we had a sample. We took photos. We started emailing the mayor. You know, he kept giving us addresses every night saying, you know, LA manufacturers, we know you, we see you, like, we need your help. Please reach out to us. And now they have this great program called LAProtects.org where people that need masks and companies that need masks can fill out an application, just like a quick questionnaire, and then mm-hmm. be put on a list. And then when they get put on the list,
excellent.
They get sent a contractor list, which is us. And I saw the list and it had 430 other manufacturers on it. And you can just pick, and it has, you know, a business name and a website and a phone number, and you can do your research and then you can reach out to the companies direct. But it's basically like offering this help where it's like, here's a list of resources of people at your fingertips that can help you, which is
yeah.
is really great. And so we just started.
I want to jump in here really quick, though, because I think what you're doing is incredible. And, you know, for people that are listening, it's you know, it's a necessity, you know, it's
mm-hmm.
so really, if you're not supposed to be going to work, I think, you know, you're helping people. you know. So yeah. it's an essential work, or mm-hmm. you know what I mean,
well, right
or
now,
job.
And in Los Angeles, I don't know about in Philadelphia, but in Los Angeles, it's now the law. Legally, you have to wear a mask when you go outside, or else you can get fined.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. That was in effect like a week ago. So, you know, being able to respond to it is really important. And then I'm just trying to make sure that we keep up with the demand and keep ordering supplies, because now elastic is running out. You know, carbon filters are running out. There's so many things where, like, you go to order something, it's all gone. It's crazy.
Yeah,
so
let's talk about that really quick, because say if somebody wants to just make a mask for themselves, you know, and it's just one piece. What kind of fabric would you recommend? And I heard you say the filters, like, mm-hmm. What do you recommend to people? Because I know that you're doing like the orders for, you know, you're doing huge donations, and you're also mm-hmm. doing orders for big, large companies, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And then so if, yeah, just give a couple tips on, you know, if somebody just needs one, how they can make it.
Sure. And also we're making small, or, you know, we're just making extra so we can also fulfill the need for friends and family or people that walk by. I put a mask on yesterday and I ran into someone in the hallway at my office building, and she asked me if she could buy masks for me. And so, you know, you never know who may ask or who may need whatever. And so I'm constantly asking people if they need masks or if they need help. Aside from that, the material should be 100% cotton based on what, like, OSHA guidelines and hospitals like Kaiser Permanente are recommending. And so we're uh-huh. kind of going off of the big companies that are telling us that's most recommended. 100% cotton, it could be stretched like a jersey, like a t-shirt mm-hmm. cotton, but ideally with no spandex in it. And then 100% cotton woven is fine too, like a poplin. We made some out of seersucker. Anything that's cotton is great because it's a natural fiber and it's breathable. So a lot of people think that like antimicrobial fabrics and antibacterial fabrics are going to help right now, because there's a lot of polyesters that have treatments on them. Mm-hmm. And I haven't spoken with hospitals about that, but I would imagine that they would ask for that if that's what they wanted. I'm not sure if, you know, coronavirus would really help to have an antibacterial. It's not a bacteria, so it doesn't make sense. You know, Shannon and I have been talking about that, and we're like, why are people trying to make things out of antibacterial fabric? I would just go 100% cotton. You know, if you have something laying around, if you have an old t-shirt, if you can't get new fabric, it doesn't matter. Like, you can make it out of scraps.
We have to take a break. Sorry to interrupt you, Hallie. So we have to go on a break.
No,
but I just want to say really quickly to the listeners that, you know, and I think it's best if you have more than one, especially if you have a fabric one, because you can always wash one and you can switch them in and out. So I think that's really, really helpful. But please stay tuned. We have more with Hallie Grano on WPHT 1210 AM Style with Stevola. Hi, friends. Welcome back. I'm here with Hallie Grano, an amazing, amazing quadruple threat. We've been talking about her design career, her business, you know, what she's doing for the community. And we still haven't even gotten to her being a DJ. I mean, we got into it a little bit, but not all. We have so much more to talk about. And we have so little time. But welcome back, Hallie. And thank you again for joining us.
Thank you so much, Stevola, and thank you to everyone listening right now. I really appreciate it.
Yes, yeah. So I think that last segment was really, really important. You know, how, you know, you just educated some people on, you know, what fabrics to use and, you know, using the filters. Let's just discuss really quickly the masks that you are making. So if there's companies out there, you know, or, you know, like they could be big or small that need masks, you can absolutely reach out and they can get them to you pretty quickly.
Sure. And are you going to plug, do you want me to tell everyone where they can send their inquiries to?
Go for it.
Okay. So if you want any masks, it's just really simple. You can email us info@ladysmithla.com, and it's spelled LadySmithla.com. You can also find us on social media at LadySmithLA, and you can literally just DM us or write something in the comments. We'll find it, and we'll be sure to respond to your request. We can fulfill small orders, large orders. If companies, you know, want to open up again and they need custom masks with their logo on it or printed fabric or whatever, anything you can think of, we can figure out how to do it. So just reach out to us, and we can get you a quote ASAP. And our turnaround time, you know, depends on like a week to 4 weeks maximum, depending on how complicated you're getting.
Right. And the production order, like how many, right?
Yeah, for production. Oh, yeah, you can order. I mean, I would say if you're going custom, you want to go like 500 or more probably for custom, but there's no job too big or too small. We can price it accordingly. Just the price gets higher with smaller units. We can also fulfill small orders as well. Just, we have a factory running nonstop all day making masks. So, you know, anything that you need, we can help cater to that. And all of our masks are 100% cotton. We can show you different fabrics and all of that. And then also if you go to our Instagram, we've just been posting like what we have available, what colors and little pictures and things about it on our feed and stories. So just, you know, keep up and take a look on there, and then we'll keep updating the product. I'm not doing a store online because I just don't want to get overwhelmed. I'd rather just answer to orders as they come.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you, Hallie. It's really admirable what you're doing. You and Shannon are amazeballs.
Thank you. Love it.
So we need to just touch, you know, in your fourth career, you are a DJ, which, you know, you talked about a little bit, but I just wanted to promote that you're doing these sets, right? On yes. Is it Instagram Live? Is that correct?
Instagram Live for now. I'm trying to figure out how to eventually get onto like Twitch TV and all these other Facebook Live and all these things and connect them together, because it seems that everyone's trying a lot of different live streaming resources. But for right now, it's really easy for me to do Instagram Live. I've just been posting ahead of time when I'm going to do something. So, and I literally just finished a set today. I played like a disco and funk vinyl set before we got on this call. So,
yes.
I know it's really fun playing records again, because we don't do that in the club anymore. So it's fun to be able to have them in our homes and easy.
Oh my God. Do you scratch?
I do. Whenever.
Oh my God. I love it. It's so old school.
It's so fun. So, yeah. And my boyfriend is actually a DJ too, at DJ Morse Code.
Yes.
He's
shout out.
And he does live stream sets too. And it's just really fun. I mean, you never know what we're going to do. So just go on my Instagram is at DJ Ivy. In my fourth career, as you say, I'm DJ Ivy.
And they're all still going, all four of them.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And I just want to tell everyone out there that honestly, like, I was up late one night. I had some wine and I saw that they were doing this Instagram Live, and I literally had like a dance party of one. My husband was passed out in the bed, and I was just like in the living room dancing around. I mean, the music you guys were playing was off the hook. I mean, I don't know how to describe it. It was just so good. It was so fun. And I actually got some exercise finally.
It was like dancey and remixes, because there's like copyright laws on Instagram Live. So we're trying to like beat the algorithm and not get cut off. So we were just going all over the place and trying to have fun. And I remember you were commenting and we were like taking shots with you. It was a blast.
Yes.
That was so much fun.
Yes. I did have a slight hangover when I woke up, but it was worth it.
Totally worth
it. But really,
it.
It was fun, and it, you guys are so talented. So really, when are you going to do it again? Because you just did one tonight or today before you came on with me. But what about
Tomorrow I'm featured on DJ City. It's at DJ City. it's a big like DJ hub for, you know, all male and female DJs, and they do a ladies brunch. So it's going to be tomorrow at 1 p.m. is when it starts Pacific Standard Time. So it would be, what, 4 p.m. for you?
Four.
And it's only like an hour and a half, and each girl is doing a 30-minute set. I'm going to be playing like Afro beats and dance hall for 30 minutes, and they have a pretty big following. So hopefully we'll get some like reasonable, you know, numbers in there, better than when I live stream myself.
Yeah. Oh my God. So I want to say, to Instagram, if you're listening, anyone out there that works for Instagram, during this time, please be a little lighter on the copyright stuff. So people can enjoy the great music and these like fabulous DJs don't get cut off. I mean, I think we all need some really great music. And like I did the other night, just dance around in your living room.
I know, right? So
yeah.
Fun,
so
and we need
I
it
really
right now.
Like, oh, I'm so sad, but we are like wrapping up. Like, so I just really, really want to thank you. I mean, Hallie, I mean, the quadruple threat, you know, designer, business owner, community activist, and DJ, AKA DJ Ivy. And then the last AKA is Ladysmith, LA.
Thank you, Allah.
Yeah, Allah. So thank you
so
again,
much.
Hallie. And thanks everyone for listening. Please take care of yourselves and each other. Peace out. Bye. Aww.
Thanks for listening to Style with Stevola, a Jacob Media production. If you're interested in learning more about the power of the radio hour, contact Joe Krause at 267-261-3428. This program is a paid commercial announcement and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management. Today's program has been pre-recorded.